Hi, my name is Attila Calvi, and you're listening to the Bigfoot Club podcast.
Hey, everybody. Robert Jesse Dominguez, Bigfoot Club, Season 6. I'm here with my nephew, Steven. Steven, say what's up.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Well, you know, just living the dream.
Living the dream. I'm pretty excited today. We have on our show today a returning John Kershaw with Creepers Cryptid Paranormal Corner. John, welcome to the club.
Hey guys, thanks for having me again.
No problem, man.
It's been a while since we talked to you.
Yeah, I think it was like almost, what, 2 years? Maybe?
2 years?
Close to it, I reckon.
Yeah.
2 years and maybe 15 minutes, maybe? I don't know.
Dumb. John, I know you're doing a lot more interviews on your channel, on your YouTube channel. How's that going? Like, kind of tell the Bigfoot Club people on what's going on with, you know, your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's going pretty good now. I've started, like I said to you before, like I've recently moved house and had to set up everything again. And now I've set up, I finally got everything sorted so I can start doing them. And I spoke to Yowie Dan the other day. I spoke to Gary Lynn today, last night. And then spoke to Stephen and Evan Strong. I don't know if you guys, have you guys spoke to them before or?
No.
No.
No? I'll have to get you in contact. They're really good. So I had them today before. Now I spoke to you guys too. So over the next couple of months, I'll start doing more interviews and I'll get back out in the bush again and do some more investigations. So it's pretty exciting times.
Sounds good. John, thanks for coming back on, man. I know this is your second time. I know Yowie Dan's going to be upset that you're on twice and he's not on twice yet. So,
but yeah, I'll cop it more than what you guys do. So don't worry about it.
We'll get Gary Lynn again
and buck you down.
Yowie Dan. No,
yeah, love Yowie Dan. He's good people, man. He's a good dude. So yeah, you're gonna get out in like the bush. Have you been on any other podcasts talking about your dog man or your werewolf man experience?
Since you guys, I've done a couple. I know I spoke to when was it? I think the last podcast I'd done would have been November, maybe. I went on the confessionals and spoke to Tony Merkel. That was pretty good. He's a really good bloke.
Tony Merkel, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that I've had happen to me, he's also heard of people happen, like it happening to them overseas too. So pretty good.
Where's Tony located at?
He's in Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got the Confessionals podcast.
Okay. Yeah. I hadn't heard of him, but yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. It's one of my favorite podcasts, other than you guys. You guys and Sarah. Okay.
Yeah, I think even Yowie Dan's got a podcast now, right?
Yeah, he gets on every now and then and likes to point out things that aren't really Yowie's and sort of, I don't know if I can swear on here or not.
But yeah, you can.
You can swear.
Likes to take the piss out of blurry photos that are photos of sticks and stuff like that that are people are trying to say they're Yowie. So it's good because there's a lot of it out there and no one really says anything. No one likes to speak up when it's definitely nothing, and when he knows they're nothing, he gets on there and likes to give them a bit of a rev up and say, come on guys, have a go. So
yeah, that's the way you should call it, because I mean that's the whole reason why I started doing a podcast, because I wasn't allowed to. Whenever I was part of the paranormal group and whenever I was a part of a Bigfoot group, I wasn't allowed to give my opinion about, you know, stuff that was on the outside, and it kind of got me, you know, kind of thinking that way. So I know Steven and I, every now and then, we'll look at the news and we'll try to call something out and say, yeah, this, you know, this doesn't look good, but it's getting a lot of, you know, play on TikTok and you know, YouTube and stuff. So,
and that has to happen, because if you don't, the amount of stuff that's going around, it makes everyone look stupid. There's people out there doing legit research and actually finding stuff that's actually being dismissed because of these people that are taking photos of eyeballs at 400 meters away from with a potato, like I like to say.
Yeah,
it's you can't be doing that. It's too hard to – we're not out here doing this trying to change people's opinions or try and get them to think, oh, yeah, he's telling the truth. We're telling everyone what we've experienced, what we've found. And when people are doing that, it makes it a lot harder because people don't want to listen to it because it's – a lot of the stuff that is out there, it's a bush or it's a stick or like, and even people that are, don't have any idea about it will go, yeah, that definitely doesn't look like anything. All these people are all crazy. Like, so it's good to have someone out there actually doing that and pulling people up for it because, well, you look at all this, look at the ridicule for the people that have had UFO sightings the last 60, 70 years.
Yeah, that's true.
The amount of stuff they've, the amount of crap they've copped, and now it's going through Congress and they're doing all these hearings and stuff. Like, that's, that would have happened a lot earlier, a long time ago, if there wasn't so much ridicule on the UFO community.
Yeah, I kind of questioned on one, whenever they came out, a lot of stuff. They were trying to, like, do a misdirection or something, and I was kind of bothered by that, but at the same time, I was glad they actually did. I know we actually did an episode of that. You know, we talked about it. And is the Australian government, are they doing that too? Are they coming out saying that UFOs are real?
No, they haven't done anything. But since this has happened, there's been a lot of stories come out in Australia of famous UFO encounters. And I can't remember what the town's called, but I know there was one down in Victoria. It there was a UFO crashed outside of a school, and the school, like, during the day, and hundreds of teachers and students and all that actually seen it, and the people that hung around for long enough actually seen, like, FBI and that turn up to investigate it, and everyone was like, what's the FBI doing in Australia? But they must have got the call out and flew straight over. So they it's a big one. And there's a guy, he's called Ross Coulthard. He's always been an investigation journalist for, like, he'd go over to, like, Iraq and all the war-torn countries in the world and do investigations over there, and did it for, we got a show called 60 Minutes, and Channel 7's got, I think it's Sunday, and he used to do all that. And something, he heard something a few years ago and it got him intrigued into looking into UFO cases. And he's actually, there was a show that went for an hour, it's just like a documentary, and he spoke to about this story about, like, that school, and spoke about I spoke to a few experts from around the world and asked what they thought about it and stuff like that. I'll find the name of it and I'll let you know, because you'll be able to find it on the internet to watch it, but it was really good. And that happened, and then a couple of months later they started talking about these Congress hearings and stuff, so he timed it pretty well. And so he's now, he's turned his thing. I think he's actually got a, like a podcast that's on Spotify and stuff too. He talks with the American dude, and they talk about when the Congress meetings are and talk about what they found and stuff like that. I think it's called Think About It or something. I'm not too sure. I'll find that too and send it to you, but you can check that out. And it's the sort of thing that we're hoping that happens with Yowies and Dogman and Wendigo and Mothman and everything else that's out there that people should know about. Hopefully that's around the corner.
Has Attila Caldi, does Attila Caldi know him and talk to him?
I'm not too sure. I know Cade Moyer, that has the Believe podcast, he's had him on and done an interview with him. But other than that, yeah, I'm not too sure. But Attila's my go-to guy for anything UFO or UAP or whatever they want to call them now. He has a lot of knowledge. He's had a lot of experiences. He used to have a UFO night. I think it was every Thursday, Yowie Dan talks about it. They had a place, like, not far from where we live, that every Thursday night people would turn up that had had encounters and wanted to talk about their experiences. He used to do, he'd done that for a few years, like a UFO night at one of the local halls, and everyone used to turn up and tell him stories, and he'd actually go out and investigate some of them. So, yeah, he's my number one, but I'm not too sure. He might have spoke to him by now, but, yeah.
Yeah, because I know Attila's done some UFO, like, documentaries, or he's been involved in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple over here. They're called Australian Skies. They're actually on Netflix. I don't know if you guys will probably have them on Netflix too. But
yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, Don Mears, that's one of his good mates. He did it, and there was a couple, like, two of the three, Attila was actually in with him. So he's done a lot of stuff. I know he's probably got a little bit of stuff in the works in at the moment, probably because of the Congress and that, it might be the sort of thing that it might get him into doing some more about UFOs. So, but yeah, he's good at everything he gets involved in. He always does a top job. So hopefully he does something on the UFOs because it would be a lot for people, normal people to learn. So,
yeah. You were on Tracking the Lore, right? You were in that documentary with Attila.
Yeah, I was at the end of it, yeah.
So are you, so you're like a big superstar now, right?
Oh, yeah. yeah, no, I looked like a bit of a bum back then when I had my dirty big beard and my filthy mullet. Now I've just got the filthy mullet. I've got rid of that and I've got a moustache. So I look a little bit cleaner shaved, so I can't get rid of it all because I look about 12 years old. So I've got to keep a little bit on my face. Otherwise, you see my grey hairs, but then my face looks 12 and it looks like I've been made in a lab or something.
has that catapulted you at all? Has that got you more subscribers?
I've had more subscribers and stuff like that, yeah, but sort of because I don't have my YouTube and that up like advertised under my name and that, so it'd be hard for some people to find me, but.
Yeah,
people that have heard my story and then they see Track, they go, "Oh yeah, I've seen you on Track. That's pretty cool."
That is cool because I think that was the very first time Stephen and I saw like a photo of you or just you in video. I go,
"Yeah,"
I go, "Dang, I pictured you like with a hat on. I don't know why, you know, a hat and a tan shirt and you know." Maybe a rifle on your shoulder.
No.
I just pictured, you know, John Kershaw. I don't know. I didn't picture you that way. I just thought you'd be like Crocodile Dundee or something. Sorry. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I understand. You've laughed about this before. Yeah. I have got one of them hats. So I just don't wear it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
this is why we love Australians because they have a really good sense of humor.
They do. They're the best. They're the best. And John's good people, man. I think
John was one of the people where I was like trying to do an Australian accent and I was failing at it. He was like, no, go on. He was supporting me. No, keep trying. And I'm like, I can't do it. I can't.
I think recently I've been trying to do one too. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean,
I was going. This is Robert Dominguez with Bigfoot Club.
That's when you said that, I was like, oh crap, that's really good.
Robert.
For some reason, though, I have to start with Down Under, and that's where I go from there. If I start anywhere else, it sounds like I'm British. So yeah. I hate it.
Hold on. Let me try Down Under. Big Robert Dominguez, Bigfoot Club. Gonna look at some yowies, maybe.
Some yowies.
You gotta say, hey, go, mate.
and I try to learn because my kids love watching Bluey. So
I love Bluey too. Yeah, don't worry.
So they're better at the accents than me, and I'm like, how?
Yeah,
I don't understand that, but you know, yeah, Bluey's an amazing show. Amazing show, and
yeah, that's one of the shows I like them to watch. So
yes, any other stuff that they
I would, like watching it too.
Yeah, it's funny. It's super relatable, and they keep asking me, Dad, what were you doing in the 80s? I go, what? Because there's an 80s episode.
Yeah, you were.
I love it when they talk about. They drop little hints and little jokes and that, like for the adults to pick up on, but it's not enough that the kids know, and it's awesome how they do it.
Yeah,
I was like, well, I was born in 89, so I didn't really get a chance to experience that wonderful time of the 80s. And they're all like, oh, okay, so you weren't in the 80s? I go, I was born, and I was a baby in 89. And they're all like, oh, okay, so you didn't really experience it? No, not really.
Yeah.
Not that I can remember, unfortunately.
John, You haven't been back on the field, right? You haven't been able to get out and go do any fishing?
No, not for a while. I've only been fishing once this year. They've been too busy, and we've had a lot of bad weather too. Like, it's either way too hot, you can't go outside, or it's been big thunderstorms and that like we're having right now. So it's lucky that we haven't dropped out or anything, but... So it's too hot or it's raining, so I haven't been able to get out much. And I don't like to go out too much bushwalking and that in summertime either, because it's just too hot and snakes, and because I don't like to follow the tracks. I like to get off the track and just walk and look for stuff. So when you're not on a track or asphalt road or something like that, there's a lot of snakes and that you've got to look out for. So I sort of do that leading up to Christmas time, and then again, like usually like middle of March and that, I'll start going through the bush again. So
Are you gonna start using your drone again and try to pick an area and try to get that going?
Yeah. I'll get back out with a drone and head out again at night time with my thermals and see how I go. So I'm hoping too, with me not going to this location, I've had a lot of stuff happen in the last year. Hopefully, because I haven't been there in a few months, it might even be enough that whatever's there comes out looking for me more when I come out, because they'll be like, oh, hang on, that's that person back again. We'll go see what he's doing. So
yeah, I was actually going to ask you, do you feel like by going to the same area, that these yowies or this whatever creatures there like recognizes you or your smell or your essence or anything like that?
Yeah, I reckon they would. Like the last spot that I had been to with my videos I've been doing, I was going there nearly every weekend, and every weekend something was happening. So I'm tipping they would know eventually that it's me, and always walking the same paths and just the way I'm walking through the bush, and that they'd be able to pick up on it being me. And I think that's why they kept coming back, sort of be like, oh, it's just him, it's not just some random person. So that's what I hope anyway.
Do you typically do like any tree knocks or yells, or because I know I haven't heard you say that or you use it, but
no, not really. Okay. I haven't really tried, because there is some people that report tree knocks and screams and stuff. Attila and I have heard a roar at us when we went to a spot into a location one day, but it's not often that you hear that with the yowies. So I don't know if that would be enough for them to go, ha, that's not one of us, so I'm not going to do that back. But a lot of people do the tree knocks and stuff, but I just more like to just head to the bush and look for evidence, and hopefully something happens while I'm out there.
Yeah, I think, because I know whenever I first started going to the woods and stuff, I would wear the same shirt, the same pair of pants, same shoes, same socks, and then I would keep it. I used to keep it separate from the rest of my clothes. I'd put it in like a big old Ziploc bag, and I would use like mild soap to wash it. And so it kind of had my scent on it, you know, more like my stink on it, you know, a little bit. And so I would do that. And I know whenever I was, because I was going out to this area in East Texas called Lamar County, Lamar Point. And it was right next to Pat Mays Lake. And it was right next to, it's close to the Oklahoma border. Yeah. And it took me like 6 months to get, you know, a possible Bigfoot, to get close enough, because we were camping in the woods, and we would eventually, when we get like a, you know, something walking around us, we couldn't see it, but we could hear like tree breaks, or we could hear like, you know, them throwing like big logs at us or big boulders or big rocks and stuff. And so we would get that, and then that would like go away. So I go, man, dang, it took us like, because like, I know I took Steven out once, or one of the few times I've taken him out, and he had activity the very first time. And I told him, I said, man, you better be lucky, because normally we don't get that, you know, in East Texas. It takes a while for, you know, these Bigfoots to get comfortable with you, because if they come out, I always feel like they come out because they're curious to see who's there, who's screaming, who's knocking, you know, why are they over there? So, and we used to get that. So I was just wondering if you took that approach as well.
No, I haven't really. Just like, the thing is too, I don't know what they're trying to communicate, so I don't know what you're saying to them by doing that, you know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah, that makes sense. Not
really reporting that much over here, it could be it could be threatening them or something like that. It could be them being aggravated or injured, and you don't want one roaring in because you think you're hurting one of their kids or something like that. Like, it's just, I just haven't. I probably will eventually, but I haven't tried it yet.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe take a glowing penis out there or something.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying.
Good old flashlight.
I'll get like one of the packets of glow sticks and snap them and then tie them all together and just run around with that hanging out. That might, yeah, that might entice him in a little bit.
That Bigfoot would feel threatened. Like, oh, no, he didn't. No, he's not trying to outdo me. No, I think I've asked John, or I don't know who I asked. There's so much snakes over there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the Yowies there, they are accustomed to...
You asked Yowie Dan this.
Yowie Dan. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this, John. Do you think the Yowies there know, like, I guess the correct plant to use medicine-wise if they get bit by a snake, that especially if they're deadly snake and 30 minutes you're dead? Is it the same thing for a Yowie, since do they have a better immune system to fight it off, or there's plants out there, do you think, that they go to or they carry with them just in case, you know, if they get bit by a snake?
I'm not too sure. I know, like, when they do, you know how they make anti-venom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They inject it into horses and then they keep doing it over a certain amount of time, and then the horse gets an immunity to it, and that's when they take that out and they use that for people when they get bitten by snakes anyway. Maybe it's something to do with that. Maybe they're so big in that their venom actually doesn't affect them as much. Or I know what the Aboriginals used to do thousands of years ago. If they got bitten by a snake, they'd actually lay down. You lay down. Our venom over here is different. It shuts down organs and stuff like that when your blood gets pumping. And whereas you guys get bitten and it gets like it, ours sort of has to get into the veins to kill you straight away, whereas yours, I think, seeps into the veins and eats away at stuff. And
yeah.
Anyway, so the Aboriginals would get bitten and they'd lay down. And then their other people in the tribe and stuff like that, they'd come around and surround them and come and help them. So they'd give them water and food and that, but the Aboriginal would stay laying down. And after 3, 4, 5 days, they'd start to feel better and actually get up. And as everyone used to say, how come the Aboriginals are still alive? They would have been all died from snake bites and stuff like that. It's because they knew how to manage it. They knew if they didn't move their body, as soon as you move your body, it starts pumping your heart.
Yeah.
Starts pumping your blood more. So they'd just lay down, stay still. The other family members and that would come and give them water, food, put water on their face, keep them cool, keep them calm, and all that. And then after that, they would actually have an immunity to the snakes anyway after that. So, maybe they're the same sort of thing.
Do you think also that it's with their lineage or their DNA with their with their tribe? You know, I want to say it respectfully. I don't want to say it. Yeah. It's just a part of their family tree. You know, that's that their immune system's tougher.
Yeah, I reckon.
And you think they probably have a different blood type too, right?
Yeah,
that's like a new blood type. I didn't even think of that. If it's the same as, I don't know, as an animal, I don't know. Like that's, I never thought of that. Different blood type.
Yeah, I've always been, I don't know why, John, I've always been, you know, infatuated with the Aborigines people. And it's just, they're, to me, they're just amazing people. And then, because you see them and they're like no other, like tribe or group in the world, and it's just like they're set apart, and they're just like they're so open, like spiritually, and you know all that stuff, and so with the land, and because you're part Aboriginal, are you not? If it's okay to say that,
yeah, I'm part Aboriginal. It's from my grandma's side. We I don't know if I spoke about it last time I was on, but it was actually a big massacre back in the 1800s. The Aboriginal tribe around here, so they're the Dharawal people, they were clashing with the European farmers. They'd go in and steal a cow or a sheep or something like that, and then the farmers would kill one of them, and they'd come back, retaliate, kill one of the farmers, and that went on for a few years. And all the other tribes are from around this location. There's the Dharawal, the Gundagara people, the Darug people, and then I think it's like the Yuniks that are down south. They all actually met up. The tribes all joined up and met one night, and they wanted to work out a way of getting past it and getting on with the Europeans so everyone stopped killing each other and stuff like that. And that night, the army or the New South Wales police knew that it was happening, and they turned up and pushed everyone off the cliffs or shot them. So there's a memorial they have every year, and they say there was only 15 people died, but all the all the elders and that from around this location know that there was at least 500 people that were murdered that night. So, yeah, and out of all them 500 people, there was three survivors and one was actually my grandma's grandmother. So that's where my Aboriginal side comes from. And if she wasn't one of the survivors, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing now. So,
yeah.
They're the oldest culture, people that are still around on Earth to this day. So they got so much knowledge, so much information, so many traditions, and every tribe was different and every tribe had a different language, and that's why it's so hard to keep up with what has happened and their stories and that, because it's being told different every direction you look, you know what I mean, because they're all got different languages. So a lot of them couldn't communicate with each other, and there was always fighting and stuff like that because no one could communicate. So
I was wondering, do you think it's possible that whenever your grandmother's tribe got massacred the way they did, the part of Australia, do you think the Yowies in that area knew it and were maybe aggressive to the European people later on?
Yeah, I reckon they would have, because as I was saying to you before, there was actually a treaty between the Aboriginals and the Yowies. The Yowies would look after the forest and the Aboriginals would look after the land. So when the Europeans turned up and took over the land, that broke the treaty and the Yowies weren't happy anymore, so they stopped communicating with them, they stopped trade. They used to make baskets for the Aboriginals and stuff like that. And once that happened, that all ended. So, but they would be in the area, and I know where the massacre was, and I know I've had encounters with Yowies and other beings close by to that area. So they're there now, so they would have been there back then as well, so they would know exactly what happened.
Yeah. I wonder if they were just a little bit more aggressive, you know, toward the...
Would have realised that the white people had come in and took the land off the Aboriginals and then just slaughtered them all, so...
There was this story that... I don't know if you either talked to or you know who Rex Gilroy is.
Yeah, I remember Rex Gilroy, yeah. He passed away anyway.
Yeah, he passed away, I think it was last year, right?
Yeah.
He used to communicate with me like in the late 90s, in the early 2000s. Yep. He used to email. He had a this is going to date me a little bit. Okay, this is going to show how old I am here. But before there was Facebook, before there was Twitter, all this stuff, TikTok, all that stuff, there was Yahoo e-groups. And there was there was a thing called Firefox. Yep. And there were these chat rooms, and like I found Rex Gilroy in one of these chat rooms. It was a Firefox one, and then eventually it got taken up by the e-groups. And he was telling me this one story, and it was probably like in the either late 1800s or early 1900s. It was a European settler that was trying to find some land. And he was on a horse, and he was like trying to scout an area. And he said around a bend or around a rock formation, a Yowie comes out. And he sees it from the distance, and this Yowie like waves to him to come to him.
Yep.
And the guy was like really, really like kind of startled his horse. His horse was jumping. He's trying to calm the horse down. And this was in the paper. And then I think yep. Rex got it and he sent me the story. And I thought it was the weirdest story. I've never heard of a cryptid or a Bigfoot that was trying to lure somebody to an area. Yeah. And so I thought that was, I mean, cause like, you know, maybe it was that area where your grandmother was at and they were trying to get that, you know, that European guy over here and then like wring his neck or something. So
yeah, that's a little scary.
It is a little scary. So
like, what would you do if you saw a Bigfoot and then, you know,
number one, I would be amazed just to see a Bigfoot. Uh-huh. And then number two, I would be creeped out because he's waving to me to come over there.
And now what if you
probably shout on my penis and say, leave me alone.
No, I was going to say, if he countered it, if someone's waving at him, like, no, you come over here.
What if I shot him the bird? You think he understand the bird? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Probably.
That'll probably confuse him.
He's like, it sort of works in every nationality in every country around the world. They sort of, everyone sort of knows what it is, don't they? So they probably know. If not, you throw a rock at them at the same time and then do it and then be like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Dang.
Or I could get two beers and just smash them and then drink them at the same time. So.
Yeah, that's it. Stone Cold said so.
He gets like two rocks or something. I don't know.
Would you RKO or Yowie?
No, I couldn't be able to reach him. So
I'd have to jump off something higher than the Yowie.
Yeah.
To perform it. But would it work? Would I make myself a fool and set it up for him to be land on my back and him stomp me? I don't know.
I think the RKO finishes everyone, so I reckon.
Yeah, right, especially if it comes out of nowhere.
I will say this, though. I could probably Stone Cold Stunner Yowie. Just kick him in the nads. Kick him in
the
nads.
You can get him like that time. I can't remember the guy's name. Oh, that little, is it Billy Kidman maybe, tried to do the moonsault off the top rope, and as he jumped and done the moonsault, Orton was laying on the ground and jumped up and RKO'd him through the air.
Oh, that was, that was, what was his name, Steven?
Evan Bourne?
Evan Bourne.
That's it. That's what you do. You wait for it to attack and it lunge at you, then you RKO.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, if it's a glowing penis, it's a direct hit.
John, you know, you doing the YouTube channel, do you get people coming up to you and just tell you like Yowie stories?
I have people message me and stuff like that, but where I am with work and that, not many people know about it. I do have people just talk to me about weird shit out of nowhere that I'm like, what the hell's going on there? Whether they know that I do the YouTube or not, but that people just come out of nowhere and tell me about the weird thing they seen in the sky, or whether they just think that they can tell me, they feel comfortable to tell me and stuff like that. But yeah, it's mainly just messages. I'll get messages on Instagram or on here or something.
What's the strangest story you've gotten?
Oh, I don't know. Nothing like any of yours. Yours are the best.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't like done the interviews enough for people to be getting on to me about like weird stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, that stuff that happened with the dog man, I've had that happen too, or did you hear about this dog man encounter? Like, I don't really have any weird stories like that. Like,
yeah,
there was a weird, the funniest thing probably is I went out with Yowie Dan, Attila, and Donny Mears. He was down years ago, so we all went out to this spot. And the week before, me, Attila, Yowie Dan, and I went out, and one of them said something stupid, and I was explaining to him about what docking is. Have you ever heard of docking?
No.
No, I don't know if I can say it. I don't think I should say it.
Go ahead, say it.
If you knew what docking is, it's you can cut this bit out, but it's two blokes. If one's got a foreskin, they put the foreskin over the head of the other man's penis. That's docking.
Oh, okay. No, I'm definitely not taking that out. I'm going to keep it in.
So, that is,
but anyway, great. Someone got said and it was stupid, and I was like, I heard of two people doing that.
Yeah.
And because I told them, as soon as Donny Mears come down, we went to this spot, the location that Yowie Dan seen little hairy men, so like little Jinjaddies,
yeah,
Jacks, whatever you want to call them, the different names. He was out there with some people and they seen one run across the road one day. So we'd headed down into this bush. I'm pretty sure it was when they were recording stuff for Tracking the Law. So we went out to see if we could find any more footage for it. And Donny Mears was there and he was sitting there, and it was 12 o'clock at night, pitch black. No one had any lights on, anything that was on like thermal cameras and video recorders. And Yowie Dan turns around to me and pokes me. He goes, tell Donny Mears about docking. And, the laughter and how loud everyone got roaring laughter when I explained it to them. So it was the funniest thing. We ended up packing up and going because, like, there is nothing left in this forest now. After that laugh and those stories, it was hilarious. That's closest I've had to a really weird or funny encounter. Yeah. We didn't encounter anything because of the conversation.
You know, I've never heard of that until right now.
I've heard of it called something else. I've heard it's called, over here, it's called sharing hoodies. I'm just like, gross.
Oh. Yeah. Man.
That's a good one.
So.
Docking station, yeah, like you got your wireless chargers. It's like that.
Yeah. Have you heard in a since we're in a gross kind of sense right here? I'm gonna say it that way. Have you heard any stories of yaois being attracted to women's menstrual cycles?
No, I haven't. Wow. I haven't found one to come out and move me in the bush when they're on their menstrual cycles either to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Might be a new investigation technique.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this story of this lady that she was her husband was a truck driver and he was always going on the road, and this one Bigfoot was coming by behind her house and peeking through her window. And I asked her, because like they were burning their like trash, and then she would stack it in the back of the yard, and they would wait at the end of the week and they would burn it. And so I asked her, I go, this is going to sound personal, I'm sorry. I said, but are you a heavy bleeder? And she goes, yeah, I am. I said, do you put like all your trash in the back? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, stop doing that. I told her, get a Ziploc, put it inside it, put it in the freezer. And when you're ready to burn your trash, then pull it out and take it over there. I said, if you do that, you might get it to stop. And so she did that. And then she bought some game trackers. I don't know if you guys know what game trackers are, right? It's like that box that you put on a tree and they take pictures.
Yeah, yeah. What are they called? Game cameras over here. Yeah.
So I told her to put it behind her house, and then, you know, and then this thing would go away. And sure enough, it did. Because I talked to her for like a couple months afterwards, and I kept calling her to make sure she was okay. And so, yeah, she was all right. So anytime we had like a female researcher with us, and I'm sorry to say this, but we asked them, are you on your cycle? So, because if you are, then probably going to get some Bigfoot activity. Because we've always felt that they were attracted to it, because they can't tell whether, you know, if it's a regular Bigfoot female or just a female. They just smell it and they just react to it. And
yeah.
So it's anytime,
probably a different scent that they've never
smelled
before.
They probably want to just go investigate. Let's go investigate what this is and something like that. So,
like, this smells nice. What is this?
This is my glowing penis. So I'm just curious if you had that kind of stuff, John, and.
Yeah, no, haven't heard anything about that.
If you haven't, wait a while, because you'll
Dan can act a little bit like he's on his menstrual cycles every now and then, so maybe I can bury him up and we'll get him to sit in the bush and see if anything comes looking for him.
Is it true that he really goes to the field with his thongs on?
No, I've seen him do it a few times, but I was actually I think I'd done it before him anyway. When we went out for tracking the law, we went and had a look at this location where I got the photos of the dog man. We weren't going to go in there, and then when Attila and that seen it, they're like, let's go. And I was like, yeah, great. I've just been in my kayak. I've got singlet on, rugby league footy shorts on, and a pair of thongs. So I was bush bashing it with a pair of thongs. And yeah, I've never seen him do it. He sent me photos when he's sitting at camp.
Yeah.
But I actually went dog man hunting in a pair of thongs. So
nice.
Oh, man.
Because like he sends me videos sometimes of him walking in the woods. And he'll point the, you know, his phone down, and then he has his thongs on, and so
you can't do that, man. You got so much snakes and spiders over there. Why?
Well, John Kershaw and Yowie Dan, they're
a different breed.
Yeah, they're El Chingons.
Yeah, man.
So, but you said you interviewed Gary Lynn the other night, right?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Are you going to post that pretty soon, or?
Yeah, over the next week or so, I'll do the edits and that. I might have it out at the end of the week or so. So hopefully I can get it. I'm not too busy with work this week.
Yeah,
I can get it done this week. So
yeah, he's such a good dude, man. I love him so much.
A lot of stuff. He's given me a lot of information, a lot of techniques to try and do, and he's just a really good bloke. We talk every day, every second day. Anyway, we always sending each other different stuff to look at, or stupid videos on Instagram, or, you know, it's like every day we're in contact anyway. He's really good.
Yeah, I would say this, that, you know, after Steve and I interviewed you guys, I was in more contact with y'all than local researchers in Texas.
Yep.
And so I found that really odd. And I was like, I know lots of people across the continental U.S., you know, that are researchers. But I was like more closely with you guys. I was like, y'all guys were instant messaging me all the time, and like you would message me, go, hey, you know, hey, mate, what's up? What's going on? How you doing? Yeah. And like, I love that about, and I would tell Sarah Bignall whenever I was on her show, I said, man, I, you know, thank you for introducing me to these guys. These are, you know, even though they're like a, you know, Southern Hemisphere away, they're like one of my closest friends. And
yeah, we're all mates. I mean, that's the best thing. Everyone gets on. Well, most people get on anyway. No, there is
it's just
a few bad eggs, and everywhere you go, there's always bad eggs. But it's good to have mates in this sort of genre of work and like investigation, and that sort of helps you make you realize you're not crazy because everyone else is out there having the same stuff happen to them. And they can talk about it and that, whereas if you didn't have anyone to talk to, you sort of feel pretty alone with the stuff that we've had to deal with, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the sort of thing you sit down at Christmas dinner and have a chat to your grandparents about and that.
I wanted to ask you, because I know most of the area in the bush that you go to, though, are those like national forests or there's like state parks or... Not sure.
We've got a lot of our national, a lot of the national parks we've got, like, if there's water around, you're not allowed, like, waterboard, like, drinking water and that, you're not allowed in there. And there is national parks I go to, but most of them are more like state forests. You can go in there and you can't really hunt in them and stuff like that.
Right.
You can camp in them, and but it's not, it's hard. A lot of the places we just go and do day trips and stuff like that. It's not the sort of place, it's not like a, like, when they got the Sierra sound, so you take off into the bush for however long, for a couple of weeks and that. We don't really have that sort of bushland to travel into, so.
Do you have, are there game wardens that, like, did you run into?
Yeah, we've got national parks and wildlife officers, so if you're in spots in the national park and one of them, like, that you're not supposed to be, you get caught, you get fined, you can go to jail and stuff like that.
But do you?
Most of the northern ones, there is national parks, like.
Right. Yeah. Do you run into any of them that, like, were willing to talk to you about yowies? Or
I haven't, because I, like I said, I haven't been out to that sort of bush. I just sort of stick to around my house and that. Like, all the stuff I've had is within 20, 30-minute drive of my house, and usually near housing estates and stuff like that. Attila and Yowie Dan and that, they get up into the Blue Mountains and stuff and go right in hiking and that.
But yeah.
I've got young kids, so it's hard for me to do that sort of stuff. Do that sort of stuff between that and working 6 days a week. I don't really have time, so I just sort of look for areas that have a chance of having stuff, whether it's a river, really thick bush, or canyons, stuff like that. You know, there's caves. I always just sort of target that sort of stuff, but around houses, because they'll come up and take rubbish out of people's bins, like for food and that, if they have to. So if there's some sort of terrain that they might live in, and then like relatively covered enough cover to hide them, there's a chance of them being there.
I was just wondering, because I know whenever we go to national parks or like state parks, I run into like game wardens and park rangers, and they deny Bigfoot. They don't want to talk about it. And if they know that you're doing Bigfoot stuff, they will try to hang out with you until you leave.
Yeah, really.
And
that makes sense.
And it's funny, because I told Yowie Dan that, and he goes, why? I go, that's the way they are here. They're not supposed to. They can't talk about unclassified animals, and they just can't do it. And they would harass us all the time. And then, like, till we got out of there, we would just leave and go to another spot. And but I just wondered if it had the same effect there in Australia. So
yeah, I'm not too sure. I know Gary and that might be able to tell you more about that, because like I said, I don't go out. I will find the time to do that sort of stuff, but for now, when I'm hanging around houses and stuff and still and still finding stuff. So
how far is that Dogman incident from your house right now?
Oh, now I've moved, so it's about an hour's drive. It was half an hour, but it's only about 10 minutes from where Attila lives, so.
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Tillicott, did I tell you that I was really nervous about interviewing him?
Yeah. Why, well, really, was that?
I don't know, because he was on TV, I guess. And I told him, I said, I just want you to know I'm really nervous about interviewing you. And he goes, why? I said, because you were on TV, and... Because I'm just a regular bloke, you know, I'm just a regular dude and regular mate.
I think we're just scared because we're like, man, We like to make people laugh. Is he going to get our jokes?
Yeah.
And all the stuff that we've seen documentary-wise, he's been serious.
Yeah.
And, you know, doesn't laugh or anything, doesn't smile. He's just like, you know, talks about the incident and then moves on. But, yeah, we got him to laugh and we kind of opened up and...
He laughed at our jokes. So yeah, he was pretty.
He's an awesome bloke. He'll teach you anything, whether it's going out and investigating paranormal, UFO, yowie stuff, anything he knows, he tells you. Anything he knows about cameras and stuff, he'll tell you everything. Like, he's just a genuine, really good bloke and knows what he's doing. He's a superstar with his documentaries and stuff. Yeah. I know what you mean. No, I got a bit nervous too the first time I met him. And then he starts telling you stories, and I'm like, I'm still a little bit nervous now because of the stuff that's happened to you.
Because he's what? Is he Turkish? Is that what he is? Or
is he a Hungary?
Hungarian, okay.
Hungarian, yeah.
He's Hungarian?
Yeah. He's from Hungary, yeah, and his family. Sure, Hungary, yeah.
Wow.
His family, like, migrated to Australia. And
I didn't know that.
Attila, he's awesome. I love him. I wish if he was here, I'd hug him.
Attila, Gary Lynn, Now I think about it, now he kind of looks like Manu Bennett. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, yeah, I do.
From Arrow, Deathstroke.
Yeah, Deathstroke.
Yeah, he looks just like him, in a way.
He looks a bit like Aquaman as well.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what we said too. Like, man, you look like Jason Momoa. But when I look at him now, I go, no, I'm starting to see Manu Bennett more. If Manu Bennett had longer hair.
Yeah. I love his stories of him telling us about his daughter, like, seeing yowies. And like,
yeah, we were talking about that the other day.
Yeah, I love that. That was awesome. Like, she would, like, look at that monkey over there. And he goes, what? And she would see, like, a baby Bigfoot or something, or a yowie, a baby yowie or something. I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool how... And then we interviewed Buck Buckingham.
Oh yeah,
he's a good dude. Man, he is a talker. Oh my god,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he put Yowie Dan in his name because like he would just go, and I was trying to get him to stop, and he wouldn't. He just kept talking.
He was like, wait, hold on. Let me just tell you this story.
Buck, because like I think he just told us the whole story about getting the video or getting that thermo. And he was just telling us everything about it, you know, everything he did, everything of every button he pushed. And But I called him Buck You Down. That's what I called him. It's a lyric from
House of Pain.
Buck You Down. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. Spitting out lyrics, homie, I'll wet you. So we were telling him that, and he was like, we were doing the lyrics, and he was doing the lyrics with us. Oh man, what? Okay. John, I was going to ask you when you're in the field and stuff. When I know you're having all these experiences, and I know you worked with animals before. Have you run into anything paranormal while you're in the field, or has anything weird happened like that to you while you're in the field where you can't explain where it was an animal or something like that?
Oh, I've had, like I was saying to you before, I had that something say my name.
Right.
Something like, went, John. And I don't know what the hell it was. Like I said, I thought it was maybe Yowie Dan or Attila turned up because they knew I was going out and tried to scare me hiding somewhere, but there was no one around. It was pitch black, middle of nowhere. That was pretty wild of it. Like the infrasound I've spoke about with you before. And I've seen stuff as well. Like I've been out with Yowie Dan and Attila, when they were doing Tracking the Law, we went to where the first encounter with Dogman was, where it charged me and was breaking the bush and roaring at me and stuff. We went there, but we didn't have the kayak, so we just hung around the river there at night. And on the other side of the river, like the side that the encounter happened, like where the creature come running from, I all of a sudden seen these really big amber eyes up in the bush, like at the top of the ridge. And they would have been bigger than... 50 cent piece, I don't know what that would be for you guys. Sort of like the size of golf balls, which are big eyeballs.
Yeah.
And, they were an amber color. And you just, every now and then, they just blink. And then blink. And then all of a sudden, you'd look and it was there. Say, like 2 or 3 meters to the left, you'd see the blinking again. So it was actually moving around and still watching, but there was no light on it, so they were glowing. but yowie den until I couldn't see it.
Amber, when you say split, when you say amber, it's like a oranges or like an orange like type an of color?
Orangey, yeah, orangey yellow sort of color, sort of like okay. sort of like the yeah, you know, like the sort of color like Jurassic Park and that when they had like the fossilized stuff,
yeah,
like in that orangey colored, like yeah. sort of like that.
Because we were talking about this on, we did a show before we did your show with Jonathan Dodd, and he was telling us a story that he went out to a cabin, and he had on top of the ridge on the cabin behind it, he had he said orange eyes and green eyes.
Yep,
were staring at him.
Yep,
and we were telling him, I said orange eyes, that's mostly like a bear. That could be a bear. Some black bear have like a orangey tint to it, but you don't. You guys don't have bears there, do you?
No bears at all.
Okay.
But if it's a dog man, maybe it's... I heard a lot of encounters and stories of dog men having orangey, amber-colored eyes, so...
Man, that is... Did you smell anything? Did you feel anything? Did you...
No, it's just weird. I just see it moving around, and, yeah, I've never seen... Oh, for start, I've never seen eyes glow in the dark, other than once I've seen a pair of red eyes in the dark, and And I seen them glowing along the river at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And after about an hour of paddling around, and I went, hang on, I didn't have my headlamp on. How the hell did I see them bright red eyes? So that freaked me out a bit once I realized I didn't have the headlamp on and they were actually glowing in the dark. But that's the only other time when I seen these eyes at the top of the ridge. They would be, because at first I was like, maybe they're the stars through the bush behind and I'm sort of seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wind, the trees and that weren't moving, I would have heard them and that, and shining the torch up, you couldn't see any of the trees moving and stuff like that, but you could see it blinking and stuff, so that's why I was like, they're definitely eyeballs, but
they're glowing. I wanted to ask you this, and if you want me to take it out, I can take it out, because I don't want to put you in that kind of situation, but do you think it's possible that yowies can have ghosts?
Yeah, so, I think that's a lot of the paranormal stuff that happens with Bigfoot and Yowie and that. I reckon it's people running into their spirits that could explain why sometimes they just evaporate.
Yes, that's what I was getting to. So I was getting to
how I see it. I don't think it's like the woo and that, and I there's a lot of stuff that's happened to me even, and I go, wow, that's weird. But yeah. I think that's 90% of these weird woo encounters are actually spirit, sort of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
They're not actual Bigfoot doing crazy.
When I was researching in Oklahoma, there was we were in this town called Moyers, and it's very rural. It's very, they call it a mountain, but it's really like a big ass hill. And And so we were putting on these game trackers around, because like we felt like if we put up these game trackers, we could blank this one side so the Bigfoots wouldn't go through this one area and they would come another area, so we could see them. And so we put up this camera once, and we put it up pretty high up off the ground. We had to use a ladder to go put this camera up, and probably like 6-7 feet up, and We went back and looked at the footage, and I wish I still had it today, because the guy that had it, I don't know what he did with it, but we saw this torso walking past the tree. You could hear leaves crunching,
yep.
But there was no legs, no arms, just the shoulder, the head, the stomach,
yep.
and that's all we saw. And I looked at it, and I showed my friend. I said, "Do you see this?" And we were looking at it. And he goes, "Yeah, I can't explain it." So I go, "That's pretty damn tall up." So yeah. We were wondering if it was like a, because we never posted it, we never showed any, we never talked to anybody about it. It was before I did podcasts, and so I was wondering, from the Yowie perspective, if Aborigines even talk about like spirits of, Yowie or something like that.
That's what I just think. That's just how I see it. It's my way of explaining it. People will see ghosts of their family members. You run into stuff when you go out, like there's spirits and all that sort of stuff. People see ghosts of horses and that. So how do we not know that they're not the spirits or ghosts of Bigfoot or Yowies, you know what I mean? It explains with how they're evaporating when they're walking across a track, or they just appear and disappear. And I think it could be more to do with that than more of they can go interdimensional travel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's actually good.
That's a good answer, yeah.
That's really good. So, John, we're coming up on an hour.
Yes, wait.
How does the Bigfoot Club people find your channel or find you?
Just go on YouTube. You can look up Creepers Cryptid and Paranormal Corner. Same for Spotify. I've just got it on that. I've got to update a few more, but I was just putting them on that too for people like me that are a bit scabby and don't pay for the YouTube premium. And with my phone, because I don't have the premium, I can't lock my phone and just listen to stuff on YouTube. It has to be opened or it stops. So I thought I'd put it on Spotify so people can listen to it just while they're working or whatever if they want. So Creepers Cryptid and Paranormal Corner on there too. If you go to Instagram, it's just Creepers Cryptids, and that's about it.
Okay.
Go on to them, and I've got information on them for like my email address and stuff like that's on there, and you can get in contact with me on YouTube or Instagram anyway. So
okay, well, yeah. John, thank you so much for coming back on for your second time on Bigfoot Club. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So we're gonna call it a night.
Yeah, awesome. What time is it over there?
It is almost midnight.
Almost midnight.
Yeah, right. It's 5 o'clock. I'm just about to start cooking dinner here. So.
Oh, jeez.